You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, New Orleans Pelicans, and the NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Monday morning, and the podcast is coming to you a little bit late for a few reasons, and one of these two reasons are why we is what we're going to be talking about on the episode today. So the first reason is I was trying to wait last night to see if we could get an update on the Anthony Davis MRI. It has not been released as of this recording. If it happens to come out while I'm talking and recording this, then we will update it accordingly, and you're going to get kind of a live in the moment podcast episode. The other reason was, as you can probably tell by the audio quality, I'm not using my microphone, and that is because the cord broke, and then I was going to go run to the store, get another cord this morning, but decided I just want to get this up for you guys so that we can talk about this injury, the impact it has on the team, and kind of, you know, what's going on and where the Pelicans might be headed, what we think the best case, worst case scenarios could be. So just going to be a quicker pod, mainly talking about the injuries. If we get an update at a reasonable time, say before the game, I will then maybe do an emergency podcast talking about that, breaking it down once we have some more specifics and understand the time frame. But for now, we're going to go off what we've got. So let's just dive right into this kind of really upsetting episode of Locked On Pelicans. So for those who don't know by now, I'm assuming you all really do, to be honest, Anthony Davis is out currently injured with a left pelvis injury, which is what the Pelicans are calling it. We are awaiting an MRI, and the injury occurred in the fourth quarter of the game against Utah on Friday, kind of midway through about, I forget the exact timing of it, where he kind of really went down with a non-contact injury. There's a contact between him and another player, but not to that left pelvis, groin, whatever you want to call it, region, and went just kind of crumpled right down, was in very serious pain, could not put any weight on that left leg, really using it whatsoever, and was carried to the locker room by other players and coaches and trainers, and then supposedly, once he left the court, was put in a wheelchair. I think the wheelchair stuff isn't really anything to worry about. Frankly, if the guy's hurt and doesn't want to put any weight on it, wouldn't you put him in a wheelchair so that he doesn't have to walk or be carried because you've got to get people back to the court? So the wheelchair thing isn't as big of a deal to me. And then he left the game. The Pelicans then, you know, blew a lead to the Jazz before kind of coming back and making a game of it and then ultimately falling in what was a pretty gritty performance for the team after the injury. And we'll try and talk about that at some point. I don't know if it's going to be today or maybe in an emergency podcast or if we'll do it later on in the week when we get some time. But he left. Then the team traveled to Portland for the second night of a back-to-back where he was obviously ruled out. After the game, Alvin Gentry said he was going to be day-to-day. We still don't know if that's actually the diagnosis because he could be out for a significant time. The Pelicans just haven't released any information, so they're going to call it day-to-day. And if Alvin Gentry doesn't really know more specifics, of course, day-to-day is the safest thing to say here. So traveled to Portland, where supposedly he received an MRI, maybe at the Moda Center where the Trailblazers play. And don't forget, he had one there earlier in the season. So supposedly had an MRI there that wasn't clear and didn't show enough, which, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't want to speculate on what it is. It's not that I don't want to speculate. That's what we're doing here. I don't want to say it's this or that or one thing like that because, frankly, I do not know. But I know that MRI results can come back very quickly. So if you're there, you have an MRI, and it's unclear, that's a bit odd to me. And from that, you know, it makes you wonder if it's a tear or anything that was super obvious. Maybe it's just a pull and they don't know how to evaluate him and they don't really know how to go for treatment or what the diagnosis, what the prognosis, what the time away from the court is going to be. That would be my initial guess. But Then the Pelicans said that they were going to bring him back to New Orleans on Sunday, reevaluate him, maybe get another MRI with, I don't know, their machine, someone else's machine, and have their doctors take a look at him and then maybe kind of plan out a course of treatment, a course of action, and have an idea from there. So that was Sunday. There was no deadline, obviously, but it sounded like we would know more on Sunday. The Pelicans didn't. And then later in the evening, Scott Kushner reported on Twitter that they do have the MRI results and they're waiting until Monday morning to release them. So again, as I'm recording this, it's 7:40 in the morning right now. Nothing's been released, so we don't quite know yet, as we're all waiting with bated breath for that to come up. So they know what's going on. I don't know if it's just more consulting with doctors, maybe getting second opinions, or if they're just waiting till the morning to try and, you know, get ahead of this and kind of control the message with anything. But we should know something hopefully soon when it comes to Anthony Davis and this injury. So in a little bit, I am going to talk at least briefly about that Portland game. I think it's worth mentioning because, frankly, the Pelicans are going to be looking at some time without Anthony Davis, and they're going to need to kind of find a blueprint to kind of win games. And maybe they did in Portland, which is a very tough place to play, especially for the Pelicans. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to get to kind of the impacts of potentially this Anthony Davis long-term, short-term injury and what we might see kind of spiraling out of everything. So this injury, for a number of reasons, obviously, more so than we can really get into one segment on a podcast, so we'll probably talk about this over the next couple of days, especially when we know the severity of the injury, and I'm certain he's going to be missing some time, I mean, especially where it's already been two games now. But a lot really swings and hinges on this injury for the New Orleans Pelicans. This is obviously the team's best player, though Cousins has been playing incredibly well so far this year. But frankly, we've seen in the minutes where Davis is on the court versus Davis isn't on the court, the team has a very good positive lineup. It's a net rating of +5. And when he's off the court, it's -13. Don't forget, one of these bigs is basically always on the court. So those minutes when Davis isn't on there are basically minutes where it's just going to be DeMarcus Cousins and another unit. And I'll run the numbers a little bit later. But frankly, you can see when it's just Cousins out there by himself, they're usually getting outscored by opponents. Now, that has to do with the rotation and that usually Cousins is the first guy out, leaving Davis in with, you know, three other starters plus one. And then when Cousins comes in, it's usually him and some of the backups. So that's going to skew those numbers a little bit as well. But frankly, you can see they're much better with Davis on the court. And this is a team that has an absolute ton riding on the season. They're in playoff contention. They need to be in playoff contention, and they need to just simply make the playoffs, likely for Alvin Gentry and general manager Dell Demps to keep their jobs. So those guys have a lot riding on it. And then you've got to factor in DeMarcus Cousins and his impending free agency. And if Davis is either out for the season or misses, say, 3 months or 2 months with an injury, you know, you've got to kind of wonder about the direction of this franchise. They're going to keep marching forward to the playoffs because of the aforementioned job security. If you're Alvin Gentry, you've got to keep coaching to win. If you're general manager Dell Demps, you're not going to be here through a rebuild or a tear it down idea where it's, okay, let's flip Cousins for some pieces, parts, picks, and those were LPs. That was cool. Alliteration at its finest. And then, you know, try and rebuild on the fly or retool around Anthony Davis. He won't be here for that. That's not in his best interest. And all of a sudden, if Davis goes down and this team looks like they're going to start losing, you don't want him trading that first round pick now anymore. You need to keep that because it might be much more valuable. Whereas we all thought he would trade it before the trade deadline to bring in some veteran help or another player for this team, for the playoff push, for a playoff run potentially. So it has implications of what's going to happen at the trade deadline. In the meantime, if this is on the shorter side, if he misses, say, 4 to 6 weeks, and on maybe 4 weeks, let's call it a month here, I think this team can kind of weather the storm. Their schedule is brutal. We're going to go through that once we know the extent of the Anthony Davis injury. So likely tomorrow, we're going to kind of look ahead and kind of preview, so not preview, but take a look at where they're going to struggle, what we might think the record's going to be. So, you know, if Dave, with Cousins enough, you know, they won in Portland. He kind of seemed to get out of his own head and do what the coaching staff wants him to do to be that kind of player that they all hope he can be, and led them to a win against a good opponent, plays very good defense for the most part this year. And he put up a monster game. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But again, they might be able to weather the storm, be a little bit below 500, but at least be in contention, because that bottom end of the Western Conference is starting to fall apart a little bit, partially because of injuries to other teams, but also because maybe some of them just aren't as good as we maybe thought they were going to be, or they're kind of having issues in other ways. See a team like the Memphis Grizzlies, who I've talked about a bunch recently here. So that's kind of where this team is. Basically, a lot rides on it. If he's out for the season, by all means, this team should tank and try and flip DeMarcus Cousins and maybe retool, because you just have no guarantee at that point that he's going to resign, particularly if they start losing. And then you don't imagine this team's going to kind of rally around this injury and start playing better, because, frankly, talent is talent, and you need the guy who is your MVP on the team and playing. So I don't really know what's going to happen. This is weird. We're still in kind of a wait-and-see approach to things, but there's a lot riding on the Pelicans coming up, and these MRI results and what the treatment's going to be. The other thing you kind of need to worry about is if the Pelicans have enough patience to maybe play a bit of a longer game here. And say it's 4 to 6 weeks, and you know, maybe you need to shelve Davis for those 6 weeks just to make sure he's healthy further on down the line. You don't want to run this guy back because you need him for the playoff run and have him risk getting injured, particularly with a groin. And once we know the exact injury and things like that, we'll get a little bit more of a breakdown on these specific type of injuries and what they mean, what they are. So you obviously don't want to rush him back too early, because if you stay in playoff contention, you don't want to be shutting him down later down the line here. That's going to be a big problem. They need to have some patience, but with guys on the hot seat and Gentry and Demps, you've got to wonder if they're kind of thinking that, or if the idea is to kind of rush him back a little bit early. Don't forget, we've had some issues with this medical staff and wondering about things like that in the past. And while they certainly didn't cause this injury for Davis, with Misty Surrey being fired by the Saints for rushing a guy back from injury, kind of, or misdiagnosing it, there should be hesitation on people's parts, and there's a reason why they might not be trusting the medical staff, why they think the medical staff might be bad. Those are the reasons alone there, so it's certainly going to be an interesting thing. We don't know what's going to happen as I'm recording this. Still no update on the Anthony Davis injury report from the Pelicans. With all the news around the NBA, don't forget to listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. Get a quick recap. Know what's going on in the association. There's so many different storylines, so many injuries all over the place. You want to know what's going on. You can catch up with all of that in the weekly Locked On NBA podcast. So once we find out how long Anthony Davis will be out for, if anything, of course, you've got to feel there's a little bit more hope based on that Portland game alone that there would have been after other seasons, other years, and any situation like that. We've talked about it this year that when Davis goes down, the team, this is in Portland earlier in the year, responded really well and then came back to win against the Kings the next night without Anthony Davis. So they've shown this more resiliency, I guess is maybe the right word, and mental toughness to not just get completely deflated when he's out injured as they have in years past. And, you know, they kept it close against the Jazz, managed to come back in the fourth quarter in that game on Friday, and then had a monster game against Portland on Saturday, on the second night of a back-to-back, facing kind of, not adversity, maybe it's adversity, but just long odds to win. They put up a very good game, and this is one of those games we've been waiting to see where everyone kind of contributes for the Pelicans in this game. You had Etwan Moore starting with 19 points, DeMarcus Cousins in 34 minutes and on just 28 shots. Scored 38 points, grabbed 8 rebounds. Dante Cunningham, in the 14 minutes he started in place of Anthony Davis, put up 8 points and grabbed 12 rebounds. When was the last time you heard him basically even get above 8 rebounds or something in like 30 minutes of play? So think about that one for a second. Holiday went out there, put up 17 points, 17 assists with just 1 turnover. Rajon Rondo, his scoring has increased. He's got back-to-back double-doubles now, where he scored 12 points with 10 assists. Jameer Nelson chipped in 7 points while giving you what you need with that second unit. Darius Miller's doing his Darius Miller thing, hitting threes, shooting the ball well. He scored 10 points. Tony Allen chipped in with 9 points while getting to the line a good bit 4 times in that game against Portland. Ian Clark, who's fallen out of the rotation, pretty much played just 7 minutes, scored 2 points. And Omer Asik came in and managed to grab 7 rebounds and actually defended the rim pretty well against Portland. So you got a scoring effort from most guys on this team when they really needed it. These guys saw the opportunity, they played well, and they kind of went out and just did what they needed to do. They did a good job limiting Portland, with Damian Lillard getting his, scoring 29 points, but CJ McCollum just having 17. So this team, though, did exactly what you want. Their assist numbers were lower. They've been kind of averaging around 26 a game or so, only getting 22, but they had only 11 turnovers, playing smart basketball. They knew they needed to play under control. They also knew they needed to hammer Portland in the paint. That's how you beat this team. Portland runs you off the three-point line. They defend the rim pretty well. However, they allow a lot of shots at the rim, as we talked about in the preview for this on Friday. Pelicans put up 56 points in the paint. That will get it done against this team. Basically, they had no answer for DeMarcus Cousins down low. And Cousins, though he took 7 three-point attempts, only made 2 of them. That's really starting to drop and is a bit of a concern when it comes to this Pelicans team. Wanted to score inside, wanted to do most of his work down there. And you saw him, 12 shots made down low pretty much for the Pelicans big man and right now main all-star on the court. They're going to need other performances like him. He basically, in this game, seemed to be out of his own head. He knew what he needed to do. He played with composure. He didn't really let calls or anything get to him. He didn't, you know, look lazy and sag around the three-point line on offense. He was ready to close out on defense. He looked basically like a different player, which is exactly what you need from him. And having Omer Asik be able to give you 14 minutes, while not the answer to the backup big issue, certainly the Pelicans were able to, you know, take advantage, get him the just enough rest that he needed to be able to win this game. So it gives you hope that if Cousins plays like this and kind of looks like this and gets out of his own way, that this team might be able to survive depending on how long this injury is. The front court is still perilously thin at this point, so who knows if it's going to be sustainable. You know, it's not like you're expecting them to win tonight. By the way, there is a game. We haven't even touched on that because there's so many other things we need to be touching on against the Golden State Warriors. So we'll see how that goes without AD. I don't think even with Davis they're going to be particularly competitive in this one. But hey, you never know. But if Cousins plays like he did, he's a world beater and can carry a team as he did in Portland the other night. So that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Sorry for the bad audio quality. I should have a new mic cord later today. So if we get an emergency podcast, hopefully it'll sound better. Hopefully we get an update soon because I think we are all dying to know. And as I briefly mentioned, the Pels take on the Warriors tonight in the Smoothie King Center. Let's not worry about that. Let's focus on this injury for Anthony Davis because that is the most important thing. So whether we get an update early or late, I will be back with you soon to talk about it all, break it all down, and get you all set for the rest of the week when it comes to the New Orleans Pelicans. So as always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all next time.